Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, surprise, surprise, we're in a recession. The National Bureau of Economic Research put its seal on what many of us are feeling, that we suddenly have a lot less money. Ramit Sethi has a lot of ideas about what you can do about that. He's a 26-year-old recent graduate of Stanford University. We'll be checking in with him every week this month. Ramit is the founder of the personal finance and entrepreneurship blog, IWillTeachYouToBeRich.com. Got that? In case you're a little skeptical about taking financial tips from a 26-year-old, well, on his blog, he's challenged his readers to save $1,000 in 30 days. Guess what? It's been really successful. Ramit Sethi, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about this challenge. $1,000 a month. That sounds like a lot of money, especially if you're not making a lot of money or not in the habit of saving. How are people doing it?
Well, it is a lot of money, but the model that I proposed for people was something I called the CEO model. And so when we talk about saving money, it really is three parts. The first part is C, you can cut your costs. Then E, you can earn more money, something that we typically don't think about. And then O, you can optimize your existing spending, for example, negotiating your car insurance.
Sounds a little optimistic. I mean, there are some people who make $1,000 a month, right?
Yep. So the point of the challenge is to get people motivated to start saving money. And if they can save $1,000, great. I've had hundreds and hundreds of people who have saved over $1,000. But even if you save $100, that's better than doing nothing. So I want to set the bar pretty high. But even if you save $100, $200, $500, that's great because it gets you started thinking about what you can do in the future.
All right. So let's talk about that. Let's break that down. How do you do that?
Okay, so cutting costs is the one that we're most familiar with. It's the thing that we hate the most because, frankly, it's pretty boring to have to cut your costs. But there are some ways that you can actually make this a little bit more powerful. So when you cut your costs, there are typical things you think about, like turn your thermostat down. Okay, that's a fine piece of advice, but it's something that we kind of hear, our eyes glaze over, and we never do it. What you have to do is dig deeper and think, when I turn my thermostat down, why is it that I really don't save money? And I thought about it, and I said, listen, it gets pretty cold. When I come home, the first
colder
thing I
here
do after,
than where you are. Let's just
that's very
let's
true.
Just, put
that
let's
out
put
there. It out there. But the first thing you do when you come home after a hard day of work is you're going to say, oh, it's really cold. I got to turn that heat back up, and then it never goes back down. So what you want to do is use psychology to force yourself as much as possible to stick with that goal. What I did was I just put a bunch of warm clothes and warm slippers right by the door and ended up keeping my thermostat down as much as possible. That's kind of a typical piece of saving advice. But there's actually more. When you talk about cutting your costs, look at your Christmas gifts, right? Last year, we spent over $900 per person on Christmas gifts. This year, it's down. It's about $430.
Wait, but that's $900 still a lot. Each of us spent on our total gifts? Is that what you
that's
mean?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct, yeah. Yep, and $400 this year, and that's still a lot of money, particularly in these times. So what I would propose for people is really think hard about what kind of Christmas gifts you want to do. Sure, you can buy a lot of stuff, especially if it's for people you love, if you've got the money. But it's tough to start off 2009 when you're already in the hole. So if there's a way, think about ways that you can cut down on your costs for Christmas and still do something meaningful for the people you love.
My guest is Ramit Sethi, Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehr. The phone number 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Quite an interesting photo on the homepage of your website today. I want to be rich. I will teach you to be rich.com, involving a restroom and a laptop. Now, what is that about?
So what I wanted to do today was talk about how you can earn more money. And this is something that when we think about saving money, we usually think about cutting costs, but we don't think about earning more money, which is really a great way to add to your savings. In terms of earning more money, there's some great ways you can do it. And what I talked about today is freelancing. Now, freelancing can sound like you have to be a subject matter expert in something, but the truth is we're all experts in something. If you can speak English, you're an expert in speaking English, and you could tutor someone and charge $15-$20 an hour often. So what I do is I kind of go over the different ways you can freelance. There are folks who actually want to learn how to use YouTube and Flickr online, so you can actually teach them that. You can tutor kids in math. And if you do the numbers, 15 or even 10 to 15 or $20 an hour for a few hours a month, can add up quite quickly and let you save hundreds of dollars per month.
We can take your calls for Ramit Sethi. Have any of you taken his suggestion to pick up freelance work, or have you started projects to make some extra cash? What tips do you have to save money? Anybody changing the date of Christmas this year? Give us a call at 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Okay, so you're starting a project also called the Scrooge Strategy. What's that?
So the Scrooge Strategy is basically a continuation of these tips. It's going to let people get one tip per week and continue saving money. What I learned with this was that people loved getting tips every day that helped motivate them and keep them consistent on saving money. And the results have been pretty staggering. Hundreds of thousands of dollars have been saved. People are saving over $300 on average. One person, her name is Elaine Dolichek. She's 27 years old. She saved $1,170 per month for a total of $14,000 per year. I just spoke to her by email this morning, and that's a pretty amazing story for what she was able to cut.
Now, what about the, people have pretty busy, tight schedules. And sort of if you look at the kind of macroeconomic phenomenon, people are working more hours. People are working two and three jobs. I mean, that's where America has gone in the last several decades. So how much room is there for people to really add a lot of extra work to their schedule, particularly for people who have families?
It's a very, very tough challenge, and I would not even pretend to say that it's easy. Before I started, I actually surveyed my readers and asked them, how much time would you be willing to spend to save $1,000 in a month? And the most common response was an hour a day. So if you could put an hour a day, and I guess the question is, would it be worth it to save a few hundred or $1,000 in a month? I think for a lot of people on the site, it has been worth it. And let me also, Andrea, add one tip that I think has worked out really well for people because it involves optimizing your existing spending. So you look at your cell phone spending, right? And there are sites that you can basically type in your cell phone username and password. There's a site called billshrink.com, like you're going to shrink your bill. You type it in, it'll actually go in and analyze your spending, and then it will tell you what kind of plan would be better served for you. When I typed in my plan, it told me that I could save $600 a year on the plan I had because I'm just overpaying for the amount of minutes I use. Another one is negotiating your car insurance. This is a big one because if car insurance costs you $100 or $200 a month, you can often find really good suggestions. What I found was that when I called up a bunch of car insurance places, the difference between the lowest and the highest price was $700 per year. So what I proposed in that tip was I showed you the questions to ask when you call up your car insurance, and I gave you a script to use so that you could kind of push that price down.
Car insurance for all the people in New York City who have no cars. Let's take a call, but plenty of people in our listening area do. Let's take a call from Libby from Norwalk, that's Norwalk, Connecticut, I believe, where you probably do have a car. Hi, Libby.
Hi, how are you?
Do you have a question for Ramit Sethi?
Well, actually, I had a couple of ideas. Number one was I did just renegotiate my homeowner's insurance and increase my deductible in order to decrease my monthly cost, because the chances of my house burning down, which is what we're paying for, are very, very slim. And so I decreased my monthly cost by about $500 a month.
And how many jobs do you have?
Well, right now I do one job all the time, which is I work in a bookstore. I also do the freelance, which I highly recommend, where I do work sometimes on photography shoots as a photography assistant, and I'm trying to start a business where I help people organize their homes.
Do you have, there's an interesting column in the New York Times today by Gail Collins in which apparently Ed Rundell accused Janet Napolitano of not having a life, which was obviously a very loaded comment for a lot of reasons. But do you feel like you have a life?
Yes, I definitely have a life. But you have to love what you do. You have to love working. I love to sell books. I love to work on a shoot, and I love to help people organize. And I am one of those people who loves what I do. You have to just, and it doesn't have to be, it's not about finding that one perfect thing that you love. It's about just loving whatever it is that you do. So then you say, yes, I have a life, because every day when I'm selling a book to a kid, I really love it.
All right, Libby, thank you very much for your call. And we are going to take some more calls, 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. Jessica from the Lower East Side. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning.
Do you also have a second job?
I don't. I am a full-time freelance writer, and it's very hard, and I have to make a lot of sacrifices in my personal life, and, you know, it's cost me, you know, in relationships, dating someone, and you work too much, all you do is work, it's going to kill you. But I'm able to manage it by sort of just making a list and looking at what I have to do and just sticking to it. And I actually have a lot of work right now, and a lot of friends and editors have lost their jobs, and it's more competitive than ever, but I'm just trying to keep positive.
Jessica, we did a segment not too long ago on freelancers, and I'm wondering how easy, because there's a lot of companies, particularly in writing, that are cutting back, that are not taking as much work.
Easy. I actually have difficult situations sometimes. Recently, I can't name names, but I was on assignment, and the publication folded the day that I was very far away from New York, and that was tricky because there I am on assignment for a magazine, and no place to. So where is it going to be published? So there I am pitching the story very far away, and it's a little discouraging, but it worked out in the end.
All right, thank you for your call, Jessica. Let's get a comment from our guest, Ramit Sethi, and then maybe we'll have a time for another call or two. Did you have a response to Jessica?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like she's doing a great job as best as she can. And freelancing is extremely tough, particularly in the writing area. So I would say that she should just continue keeping it up. One thing with freelancers is that the tough thing is that money is so irregular. One month you may make a great income, the next month you may make nothing. So it really pays to figure out exactly how much your bare minimum costs are. And then any month that you have over that, sock that away, try to get that emergency fund up for a few months, because when times are tough, you're going to have to depend on that.
All right, let's take another call. Mark from the Bronx. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to know what the income is of some of these people that are doing that, because I know most people who are still living in the corporate world are pretty much working their rear ends off, in plain English. I mean, I don't know how to say it. I mean, that's why they have the term exempt employee. And a lot of companies have cut back on overtime, and they still have people working hours, or they're telling people not to work. And the other thing is, with people who are exempt, they expect you, if you don't have your job finished, so you can't take a part-time job or a freelance job if you're out there working 10, 11, 12 hours a day.
You know, let's talk about that, Ramit Sethi, because, you know, I've lived in the Bay Area and I've lived in New York, and I got to say, New Yorkers spend a whole lot more time at their job sites. It's a value here. You know, there's the whole FaceTime issue, and you can't leave your job, and you have to stay till 7, 8 o'clock at night to stay in your boss's good graces. What about that?
That's a tough one. The original question is really good in terms of what are the incomes of the people participating. Let's first tackle that. The challenge was actually originally targeted at people who made above-average incomes and had a bunch of fat that they could cut out of their budget. What it turned out was that because of the coverage it got, it ended up being a totally different audience. And the audience has become the incomes are in general much more spread out. And so what we see is that the amount of money people are saving is a little bit lower than I had thought. It's not $1,000, which was a nice stretch goal, but it's hundreds and hundreds of dollars per month.
Very quickly, we have only about 30 seconds left. So very quickly, you want people to renegotiate their salaries, but how realistic is that with everybody losing their jobs?
The point is you have to focus on what you can do to save money. If you can renegotiate your salary, that's a great way to go, but that's tough in these times. If you have stuff around the house that you can sell on eBay, I had people make $200 selling that, and that's a great way to start, you know, saving money this month.
All right, so we're going to have more tips next week. Sorry we didn't get more chance to chat, but we have a whole month. So Ramit Sethi, thank you so much for being with us this morning. His blog is IWillTeachYouToBeRich.com if you want to go there and find out more, and we'll get more on-air tips next week. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. More coming up.